Well, and different from now is if no one had a camera that could actually just go and broadcast and put online. I mean, this is the only cameras were there were 4 or 5.
Everybody, 10,000 people would have had video of the thing, right? By today's standards.
Thousands of people not looking at the fire, but looking at their phone, looking at the fire.
Look at my phone here.
Well, there's very little video that does exist of this, and if someone actually if someone taped this, please reach out to me on my website, tcmedianow.com. Very little exists, and even a couple broadcast organizations in town emailed me and asked me for some footage of this.
It's amazing
because
there isn't more out there.
It was a year old. Tape was expensive.
Somebody out there has some Bell and Howell, 16-millimeter film that they shot.
Or
using
slides.
A World War II camera. Well, people did. It's Zapruder in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. He had this little camera, and he captured the Kennedy assassination. There must be somebody who was cranking away that night in downtown Minneapolis 30 years ago. So, folks, if you do, Tom, give them your website again.
TCMediaNow.com.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's play clip number 11. This is more on the bank.
Well, of course, one of the firms that was hardest hit by the fire was the Northwestern National Bank. To assess the damage, the bank's chairman of the board, Peter Gillette, has joined us this afternoon. It wasn't a very good day for you yesterday. You spent a lot of it out there watching that building go and not knowing how far it was going to go. That must have been a frightening experience for you.
It was frightening, Don, because about 7 o'clock last night, as the winds began to shift and that main fire blast started moving down Marquette Avenue towards 7th Street and moving down from the 11th and 12th floors down floor by floor, it was really a question of whether or not any part of the building was going to be saved. And of course we had another concern because we had a major exhibit inside our bank, and the beloved Lindbergh Jenny was sitting inside there. There was no way to get that plane out of there. But along with the fact that we were blessed by having no deaths, the Jenny was saved, and some portions of the bank have been saved. Whether they're saved for possible future use still remains to be seen.
Some parts of the bank were totally wiped out. That is, the interior parts of it were saved. Your office, for instance, is totally gone. That's on one side of the building. The other side of the building doesn't seem to be as affected.
Basically, the floors from 6 up through 16, from the center of the building, the center of Marquette, to 6th Street, are, for all intents and purposes, either burned out entirely, or the water damage or smoke damage is so bad that its future use would be highly questionable at this stage.
Here's some pictures of the Jenny. Did it sustain any damage that you know of?
To the best of my concern, best of our knowledge, no. I was in the building this afternoon for about an hour and a half. We're experiencing a lot of water leakage that's coming down from upper floors, but fortunately, I don't think not a drop of water really has gotten on the Jenny itself.
How long is it going to take to rebuild? Do you have any idea at all what it's going to take to put that back together, those upper floors?
No, it's structurally, we know that the building is structurally sound. It is not going to collapse. It'll take us some time before we can have a total assessment to really get some understanding of what is possible, what the cost would be to replace it. We are insured, but it's just going to take a lot of time. In the meantime, we have been making plans today and will continue to do so tomorrow and Sunday to relocate all of the facilities within the bank building itself to other locales throughout the downtown area.
I'd like to ask you a question that I hope you don't take as being flip, but we got a lot of phone calls when there was concern that the Northwestern Bank building was on fire. People calling us saying, is my money okay? Is the money okay?
The money is absolutely okay because, first of all, the vault doors are all entirely sealed. Nobody has opened those up. But more importantly, I think all of our records that are computer-driven are housed down at our operations center further down the block. And everything is safe, the securities, the accounts, everybody's money is safe and secure, I'm pleased to report.
Very good. Thank you so much for coming in today
John.
That I know can't be a very pleasant one
for
you.
No, it's not.
Thank you very much.
Stan, is the money okay?
The money's okay, but I'm worried about my Edsel stock, Tom.
Well,
I'm hoping that's okay. I hope that was in the vault, too.
I think it's safe. We'll come back in just a couple minutes, talk a little bit about some of the more of the artifacts, the Jenny and the weather ball.
When the weather ball is glowing red, warmer weather's just ahead.
When the weather ball is shining white, colder weather isn't right.
When the weather ball is wearing green, too. Colors blinking by night and day say precipitation's on the way.
Money is above.
Upbeat tune. This is Tom Osmond. This is Twin Cities Flashback. Again, any comments or questions on the 1982 Thanksgiving fire of downtown Minneapolis, 651-275-1220. I'm with Stan Turner, former KSTP and current KLBB host, talking about the worst fire in Minneapolis history. Probably maybe the worst fire in Minnesota history also.
Hard to quantify that. Certainly in terms of damage and dollar loss, it is, yes.
And a couple things we heard in the last couple audio clips was a couple big the weather ball that was on top of the Northwest Bank building.
I grew up in St. Louis Park, and from our house, out our kitchen window, I could see the weather ball on top of the bank building, and we kind of got our weather reports from that too. If it were white, it was this time of year, and the ball was white and blinking, you get the shovel out, and you know the plows are coming. So it was fairly reliable. You know, it was
did
good.
You, did yeah. you know what happened to the ball after the fire?
No, I think it went to the fairgrounds.
It went to the fairgrounds.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Boy, what a guy, huh? Gee.
And like many things, it was out at the fairgrounds in a garage, and then they decided in the year 2000 that hey, we've given up, so we're just going to dismantle it, and it is scrapped.
There is something in this state, a small little entity called the Minnesota Historical Society, which I think would have loved to have had it. Were they asked if they wanted it? You even know, if they put it in a warehouse, it would be saved. Did somebody junk it? Is it gone?
It's gone.
That's outrageous. That was iconic, to use that terrible word, but it was part of the skyscape.
I guess
of
apparently they
huh?
said they were going to restore it. They were going to bring it back.
Right, right.
But the state fair just, instead of doing what they promised there, just decided we're going to let it go.
I have a high regard for the state fair. It is a beautifully run, very effective and efficient. We all know anybody who's gone out there to the fair, they do a great job year-round. So I'm not sure who or what happened there, who did what and who should have done something, but it's a pity it's gone. It really is.
The safe money apparently didn't make it to the weather ball to do any restoration.
Apparently not. The Lindbergh aircraft,
Jenny
was already, I think, reduced to a skeleton. I think it today hangs in the, what else? How appropriate. The Lindbergh terminal, right. the main terminal out of Twin Cities International, it's hanging from the ceiling up there, as well it should. And so that's safe and sound, we hope.
I was reading the Wells Fargo actually has they do have a blog on this, and employees of the building are still working through what's now Wells Fargo. Lesson: don't bring your pearl necklace to work. One employee brought her pearl necklace to work to have it restrung. Left it in her desk on Thanksgiving, and we know what happened after that. So don't bring your valuables to work.
There's a cautionary tale for you folks, that's for sure. Yep. Leave those pearls at home.
Again, it was Black Friday, and a lot of commerce is going on downtown. Let's hit clip number 12 and learn a little bit how that went.
By all accounts, this should have been a banner day for downtown merchants. The streets were packed, and people had to wait in line just to get in and out of the stores. But unfortunately, not all these people came to shop.
To see the fire.
Did you come down to do any shopping?
No, just a look. Just a gawk. Just what we weren't supposed to do.
Did some shopping also. I wanted to see where my old office is. It was on the 16th floor of the building. I'm just on the corner office. And I see that it's completely gutted by fire. We moved out 5 months ago. Thank goodness.
Business was down throughout the area. A sobering disappointment for many merchants who had hoped holiday shoppers could boost sagging sales. The JCPenney store at 6th and Nicollet sustained minor smoke and water.
This was during a recession too. This was during a rough time in history.
Hard to keep track of all the recessions, isn't it,
right,
folks?
Right.
But they're nothing new, sadly.
No, and so looking and what's interesting with the video on tcmedianow.com is we have this fire video, we have this devastation downtown, and then all the commercials are for Black Friday sales. So that's the more things
commerce must go on, ladies.
More
and gentlemen.
Things change, more they stay the same. Yeah. I do love people that just come on down for to hang out and see.
I'm doing what I was told not to do. I'm down here gawking. Yes, and I'm proud of it too. Yet ashamed at the same time. Can you be proud and ashamed at the same time? Yes.
Well, this was probably, you know, it was the beginning of the end for our Donaldsons. It was. I read somewhere that it was compared to the Macy's Gimbel's rivalry of New York. Yeah. Donaldsons eventually was folded. Yeah. Well, they took.
Didn't it become Carson Peary Scott or something like that?
Donaldsons purchased Powers. Powers are gone, and then Carson Peary Scott bought Donaldson's and did what a lot of companies have to their detriment have done, decided that Minnesotans like big name, big market names, and they took down
wrong, names. Wrong.
I love when you drive by some of our original malls, you see how many bolts are in the concrete wall, how many names have changed.
Folks, people still call Macy's Dayton's, and they always will, because it's homegrown, it's part of our fiber, it's in our DNA, and don't try to wow us with big names like, you know, Gimbel's and Macy's.
They'll call, they just may not shop there anymore.
Right.
So again, and Dayton's did win they won the rivalry, and then Dayton's that's another bolt in the concrete wall now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play clip number 16.
There's so much joy in giving. We can't wait to see their eyes. That special gift will bring the joy of sharing their surprise.
Christmas is shining bright. And Christian Dior offers a dazzling collection of gifts for men. Ties, dress shirts, cufflinks, collars, and much, much more.
Much, much more. Cufflinks.
That aired right after fire coverage, so, you know.
Beautiful, isn't it, huh?
Your nerves are on edge.
Talk about your timing, huh? Let's go down and get some hot earrings, if you know what I mean.
You know, I wanted to, you know, let's, you know, lighten the mood a little bit. Again, this has been a great conversation on the fire 30 years ago. Not this weekend. We're not talking about a recent story. We're talking about something happened 30 years ago. But you were talking a lot about the people, and I appreciate, you know, for you always giving lots of credit to the producers, dispatchers.
We couldn't do anything without them.
looking at some odd year for today, I ran across a promotion from KSTP, a place you're well aware of. And it was a promo that aired about 25, 28 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it involves almost like a little bit of a soap opera of a child in the hospital. But the child makes it through this illness because of the KSTP news team.
Really? Good for us.
Clip number 13.
I don't want you folks to worry about this, especially you, Jenny. We got a great team working on this.
I know.
What is team spirit? Anything in the Nicholas case?
Nothing yet.
It's making the extra effort because you really care.
Dr. Sawyer.
It's doing whatever's needed to get the job done.
Cindy, it's Mike. They found one.
They've got a kidney for the Nicholas girl.
We need a crew at Hennepin County.
It's the spirit that makes us the team to turn to.
And tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, the Eyewitness News team will perform brain surgery at the University of Minnesota, saving a loved one near you.
I want to run out.
For team spirit.
I want to run out, grab a hat, and throw it in the air when they say they found a kidney.
I don't believe it. I forgot. I wanted to forget that. That's terrible.
The equivalent of a medical team saving a girl's like kidney.
We do car wrecks and miracles, medical miracles.
The best part is that the news medical specialist is actually right along with the operating team. He's right there with his camera.
Dr. Michael Breen.
Michael Breen, probably, yeah.
Yes,
he was probably consulting
indeed.
With the surgeon.
Right.
So, Stan.
Proud moments in broadcasting.
That might be the happiest, most uplifting commercial
absolutely.
I've ever heard.
I know. I'm going to feel good all day. Yeah.
So what do you remember about the rebuild? So we go through the tense fire, and what do you remember about the rebuild process? Because the Gavity Commons in the Wells Fargo Center.
Loondale, they call it.
Right.
Gavity in Latin means loon, so we called it Loondale. That has been a spectacular, part of it's been a flop, hasn't it? They combined, they ran skyways connecting stores mm-hmm. over a couple of city blocks down there. Mm-hmm. And Neiman Marcus was in there. Is it still there?
I think they're on their way out.
Saks Fifth Avenue.
That's going
come
away
and
too.
Gone.
Right, right.
Lovely, you know, lovely shops. I used to pop in there to see, you know, what a $150 tie looks like and then leave.
Well, you had a black account there, right?
Absolutely. Right, unlimited right, sky's the limit. Yeah. No, actually, even for the high rollers, the blue bloods, the prices were too much, and they just had, they never got traction down there. Mm-hmm. I think people still, you know, long, like you said before, you know, these wonderful names from New York and the rest, don't cut it here.
No,
it's Dayton's and Donaldson's. That's what people want. And they're not Rube's either. I mean, those two stores, as well as Powers, they carried nice things, too, at affordable prices. And, you know, we're not going to be wowed by the big names here. Just not.
No, and right now, I mean, and I think that just, you know, retail in general is just it's a challenging business, and real estate's a challenging business right now, and I think that's kind of a perfect storm.
Broadcasting is a challenging business.
I never heard that.
You know, it's the economy, right?
Yep. Well, the economy. What's it called? Economy stupid, right?
Well, yeah. Did you call me stupid? Well, thank you. That's the nicest thing anybody said to me all day.
No, of course not.
You know, I had a question for you, Stan.
Yeah, yes, James.
So the people who set this fire initially were teenagers, right?
I don't recall that. Kids, yeah.
It was juveniles, right?
Right, they were in there. They were probably just hanging out, maybe smoking some, you know, who knows what. And certainly trying to keep warm, but there had to be other places to keep warm.
Yeah, I'm just curious if any criminal charges were ever actually brought against these kids.
Maybe you've got that.
Juveniles were arrested and later convicted of setting the fire using a torch found at the partially demolished downtown site. Yeah. They made their own torch.
Well, they made their own trouble. They were out looking for trouble, and they got it. And they could have killed a lot of people.
Our own Reed Hagen, he mentioned that before this whole fire went up and the construction was happening, he could go down and just walk into the building. Like they had no security.
Right.
They had nothing.
That's right. It's a derelict building, and anybody and everybody who wanted to could get in there. And, again, it's a major miracle there wasn't massive loss of life. I mean, it just, you know, even though it was an empty building, I mean, with that many people around it, it could have been disastrous.
Well, you know, thank you for your coverage, and thank you for talking with us today. And
well, Tom, this is your maiden voyage here.
This is the first
show called Flashback.
Flashback Twin Cities,
and you know, I feel compelled to, you know, like launching a ship to crash a bottle of champagne. We don't have a ship's bow here. About over your head, Tom. Is that okay? Can we?
It's had a few crashes before. So
I'm just impressed.
Congratulations, it's good. This is the premise is to bring back our local history through sound.
And what I want to do is be able to relive that moment is close to the first time we saw it as possible.
Right.
And on my website, tcmedianow.com, you can watch not only these fire clips, but also other events that happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and watch them with the original commercials. Watch them the same way you watch them on a wood console TV. Just watch them from a computer or your smartphone. Or
that whatever. Old blonde Admiral television set with the doors that you shut after you were done looking at the black and white screen.
Zenith with a space control remote.
Yep, right.
Right.
Yeah. The remote was the guy who got up with the beer and went over and turned the channel. That was the remote.
Well, and much like the weather ball, which was demolished and scrapped, I do to this day believe there's tapes that are being tossed away, or even slides or films. So if you think that you have something you cannot play again, don't throw it away. It is history, and if not the Thanksgiving fire or something else that happened significantly.
Speaking of vintage audio, I just want to throw in a quick promo, a shameless self-promotion here if I could, on our show today on the Stan Turner Show at noon. We're going to talk about the Andrews Sisters in wartime, 1944, Christmas 1944. We got the gang from the History Theater in St. Paul coming down. They're staging Christmas of Swing right now, so
right.
We'll hear all about that. It's a fun ride.
Well, it is December 1st, so it does officially, I guess the Christmas season probably kicked off on Thanksgiving, but
I think it was July.
Yeah, I think it's July. But it depends if you're in the retail calendar, if you're on the human calendar. But I do.
Who's on the human calendar?
Well, you know, those of us that have to live in the real world. Mm-hmm. I do want to let's play clip number 14. This is every Christmas. I think that companies have done a great justice to us by saving a lot of the same ads that can play over and over again, and these become much like our Christmas dinner. These commercials become part of our tradition. So let's hear 14.
Thanks a lot. Merry Christmas.
Peter!
Merry Christmas.
been coming home for Christmas for I think 30 years now. He's been coming home making that same cup of Folgers coffee.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't made it yet. He's been trying for 30 years to get
it's
home.
It's been tough to get home for Christmas.
That snow in Minnesota is tough to get through.
Next week, two people who've been stuck in 1975 for the last 20 years, Martini and Olive, will join me live in studio. So thanks, everyone. This is Twin Cities Flashback.